Happy Lord's Day, brothers and sisters. All right. Good to see everyone here. All right. I know it's been a while since we've been up here. And I hope by the end of today's lesson, we didn't scare off anybody. The greatest love. The greatest love. Brothers and sisters, again, it's worth repeating because of the value that we may find in it. And sometimes, in our effort to help repeat it, maybe eventually we'll get it. That the light will come on. You have that aha moment. Even though you've heard it time and time again, we thank God for that, that He is patient, that He blessed us with the opportunity to hear His word time and time again, so that finally we'll have that aha moment, that we'll get it, we'll come to understand it, appreciate it, love it. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. Again, I'll be reading from the NIV, most of these scripture readings, where it states, again, you've heard it, it's worth repeating, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It would take months just to center on what was just written there. Months for us to try to get that aha moment. That means you. It is written for all of us. It is what we need to do. We're not excluded from what was just said. Again, scripture needs to be read and reread and not rewritten. These words of the Lord cannot come into you by osmosis. It never worked that way. Read. You have to read it. Take time to read it. Because it is the book of life. It is what Christians should do. It is what every Christian needs to do. And again, if it's been more than a day since you've had your last scripture reading, it's been too long. He has the words of life. That is it. He has the words of life. That's who we need to go to. If you want to go to some self-help guru out there, go with the latest fad, which is on Facebook or TikTok or whatchamacallit. You're misguided. The scripture says He has the words of life. How are you going to know what is being told is truth if you don't look at the truth? It's there. He had it written so that we will know. We don't have to guess. You will know what truth is, without a doubt, once you read it. Once you get to that point, if it takes that, take it, read it, read it, reread it, till you get that aha moment. And in reading His Word, it will help us to comprehend who our Creator is. Far too many has become too familiar with God and do not show Him the due respect and reverence that is due Him. He is God. 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 He's not a pal. He's not a bank account. He's God. When we read and reread, we may start to get a deeper insight and clearer understanding on a more meaningful and personal level of who is the only sovereign God. Again, since we last gathered together, some questions need to be asked. How is your prayer life? Has it changed? Is it for the better? Do you pray? Are you doing it consistently, meaningfully? Are you praying for the Lord's church individually, for this congregation right here, and the church at large? Are you praying for each other? All of us have struggles. And all of us have victories through Christ. We see how God has answered prayer. We know it works. We got the witness right here. There she is. And many others. We have the evidence that God has been so kind. He is kind. But we need to pray. And not selfishly. We've learned about that. Not selfish prayers. Again, is your prayer life more substantial? Is it more robust now than what it was from last week? Have you been filling your spirit with the good stuff? Have you taken time to read His Word, for example? And again, here's more good stuff for your soul. You've heard those, what is it? It used to be pretty popular a little while ago. Chicken soup for the soul. You ever heard about that? God has the recipe right here. Always has. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you striving to improve on these positive attributes? Are we honoring God in every way that we can? Are your thoughts surrounded around Him, for Him? Does your actions reflect it? Is pleasing Him the most important aspect of your life? Or is it in the cares of this world? Is it for the next job promotion? Is it whatever? You know, are the cares of the world getting to you? God knows. He knows what's in your heart. He knows how you're handling it, too. Are you going to Him? Or not? When we can grasp the incredible love that our God has for each of His children, then maybe we can fathom the greatest love made available to all. Time will not allow us to consider all of what Scripture has to say about God's love. But for today, Lord willing, we'll consider what is written with the following verses, beginning in Romans 8, 38 through 39. Romans 8, 38 through 39. Where it says, again, I'll be reading from the New International Version. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Those are beautiful words. Those are comforting words. They're powerful. These are words that may inspire us in a way that would actually move our hearts. It would warm your spirit and possibly come to the logical conclusion that there is no better kind of love than that. God's love. The kind of love that would stir something within you that would stir you to love Him and to please Him in every way, every day. It seems that there are some who find that these words are just too good to be true. They wonder, if God truly knows who I am and what I have done, He wouldn't love me. How could He love me? We know that the truth is in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, again worth repeating, where it states, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, and training in righteousness. Again, our Lord is stating fact. Let us understand and look at Hebrews 6:17-18. Hebrews 6:17-18. Where it states, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. And hopefully we are encouraged by the possibility of understanding this love that God has for us. The two unchangeable things about God. One, there is no one greater than Him. Two, it is impossible for Him to lie. Knowing those two unchangeable facts about God, let's review what is written once more, where it says, for I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor death, or anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Those are life-changing words. Those are encouraging words. Words of hope. Words of comfort. Words of knowledge. And words of love. How strong is that kind of love? It's the kind of love that does more than the improbable. It does the impossible. It is the greatest love. As it is written, but God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Again, in Romans 5, verse 6 through 11. Romans 5, 6 through 11. It states, you see, at just the right time, when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. There's no doubt many of God's children have heard these words. Or better yet, they have read these words for themselves. But somehow they just don't believe it. You don't believe that we are reconciled. We don't believe we have been given the greatest gift of all. Somehow you just don't get it. How unfortunate. But we know that God does not lie. It's impossible. And it is written. And so it's true. He died for you. He gave you the greatest gift. A gift of love. There are too many who just don't believe that the best that could be offered for mankind has been given. Yes, it has come at a great price, and yet that is a wondrous mystery to some as to how could anyone love me like that. But know for certain, know that God himself loves you, and he has made provision for all those who want to love him. That we can approach him and approach him as his children. But we must remember that he is holy. He is righteous. In James 4:8. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. From this verse, we can learn that God does want us to come close to him, emotionally, spiritually, physically. Again, we are reminded from the above scripture that God is holy, righteous, and he will not accept or tolerate sin in his presence. Wash your hands. Purify your hearts and never doubt, or as some would say, being double-minded about who God is. He is the great I am. He is our Creator. And now, let's read Isaiah 45:5-12. Isaiah 45:5-12, where it states, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the setting of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide, let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker, to him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds on the ground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the works of my hands? It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hands stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. There should be no doubt about that God is the only one that should receive all glory and praise for who he is. For what he's done, he continues to do. And the discoveries that mankind still are finding to this day because of what the Lord has done. I think I've shared this with you before, with the advent of the Space Hubble telescope, they're able to see way back into the constellation, what I call creation. And when they look and peer, they're awestruck by what they see. And to think God spoke all of that into existence at the same time. God is wonderful. God is worth praising. God knows. Even after knowing all that, sure, it seems it can be hard to love God the way that we should. Are we struggling to live the life that we could in order to please God? Are we struggling with that? Trying to please God with our lives? Well, what you are going through, well, you are not the only one. Let's look at what the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 7, 15 through 19. Romans 7, 15 through 19. Where it states, I know that this may be hard to follow, but it's worth taking a look when you get back home. The Romans 7, 15 through 19, where he is saying, with the struggles that he's going through, that we too may be going through in this life. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. It can surely weary one's soul with our inner and outward struggles. Do you feel spiritually exhausted at times? Where you feel that there's no hope? There's no more fire for the Lord. There's no more love for God. Have you gotten in that position where that struggle within your heart, within your mind, with knowing what to do, which is right versus doing wrong? Again, you're not the only one. But it doesn't mean God wants you to stay there. He has never meant for you to stay there. Don't get comfortable there. Don't set up a hammock and start saying, pity me. God gave you what we all need. Scripture. You want to know what to do to make it right? Do right. Read the scripture. The standard's in there. And it can be done. And anything worth doing, it's worth doing. I know that you've had it in your life. I'm sure you have. Where the struggle seems so much unbearable, so long, so difficult, so wrenching, that you want to throw in the towel. You say, this is not worth it. But when you get to the end, and you see how God brought you through that, how blessed you are. How blessed you are, knowing that He helped you through that. And again, God is unchangeable. Think about it. If He helped you the first time, if you did it according to His will, He's already there for you the second time. Already. So, you know, our attitude should be that we embrace the challenges that we find ourselves in because we know who's got our back. No greater love. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, here's some good news. But Christ Himself says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What a blessing. This is from the Son of God, our Savior. He gives us direction. Go to Him. Follow Him. No one else. Because I know that out there in the social media world will say, who do you follow? Hopefully that's coming out of your mouth is Jesus Christ. And no one else. I follow the Lord. That's it. I live for the Lord. I support the Lord. I will do what it takes to please the Lord. That's it. That's my purpose. That's my pleasure. That's my blessing, to serve Him completely. Between God, our Creator, the Son of God, Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, who inspired men to write the scriptures for us, and the Holy Spirit who can guide us in our walk with Christ, we are truly blessed as God's children. He's made provision for us to be able to draw close to Him. Christ makes us acceptable to God. But we must do our part. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Christ Jesus is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, So be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This is not a suggestion. This is God telling us what we need to do and what we should do. Yes, it can be done. We can do it. You can do it. Live for Christ in a way that is pleasing to God. Christ has shown us the way. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5, where it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Talk about self-control. Make every thought captive for Christ. So what you think, what you feel, what you speak, what you consider, what you see, what you hear, everything. Would Christ be pleasing in that moment with you? Again, there is good news, always good news in the Scriptures. It's there for us. In Romans 8, verse 1 through 4, Romans 8, 1 through 4, it says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. And also in Romans 5, 9 through 11, Romans 5, 9 through 11, it states, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's sinners, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And again, we need to be reminded and hear these words one more time. In 1 John 3 and verse 1, 1 John 3 and verse 1, where it states, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. Surely by now everyone can understand and come to an appreciation, to a greater understanding of God's love for us, that God himself has given it to us, a wonderful love. Reach for it. Embrace it. Strive to keep it. It's all that you'll ever need in this time of life, during this time of life that we have been blessed with. And finally, in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, Paul writes, Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 6, as a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. Well, that just about covers it. God is everywhere. The greatest love comes from God. We are fortunate to know of it, blessed to receive it. But I know that there are many who don't acknowledge it, and that is indeed unfortunate. So the Lord's invitation is made available to where you can come into His presence through our Lord Jesus Christ. We must hear His word. We must believe His word. We must repent of our sins. That means changing our ways. We don't live our lives for ourselves. We live our lives for His blessing. We must confess Christ as the Son of God, and we must be baptized and buried with our Savior, and then live for Him. The invitation is open for all. Let's all stand together and sing.